Greetings in the name of Jesus. Good to be in the house of the Lord again tonight. I want to thank Marvel for them few thoughts. I think we've been well instructed tonight. I think we could all go home. I feel I was richly taught. I really, really appreciated that devotional. The title of our message tonight is The Shaking of All Things. Most of us like stability. We like when things, not too many ripples, okay? We just like it, just when it starts to shake, unsettledness, we don't like that. How many ever felt an earthquake? Good. I think I felt three. We were in Guatemala one time when we felt one. And we felt two of them. One time when we were at church one Sunday evening, we thought the furnace was something wrong with the furnace. And then, I'm not sure if it was Good Friday or Easter, I think it was one of them evenings, we felt one when we were at home and we had company. I knew exactly who the people were with them. It was... Everybody stopped talking. What did you think? Unsettled. Let's turn to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, I want to read verses 25 through 29. The heading of this little quote, these few verses, is the unmovable kingdom. Verse 25, see that ye refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signified the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, thereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Now, let's go to the Old Testament, the Haggai, chapter 2, and read some similar verses. Now, if we, most times, the Old Testament prophets, here is a minor prophet that skips over the church age and goes to the very end. The Old Testament, most of the Old Testament prophets are silent about the church age because, church age was not in focus. It was the Old Testament age and then the end. Now, Haggai chapter 2. I'm going to start reading at verse 3. Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? That's referring to the tabernacle. We have here the second tabernacle being built. That was the time of Haggai after the second tabernacle was built. Now, and how do you see it now? A question. Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing. In other words, what he's saying is between Solomon's temple and the temple that they built after captivity, they're coming back from captivity, that temple in comparison to Solomon's temple as nothing. The glory of the temple. The second temple was not as glorious as the first temple. Verse 4. Yet now, be strong, Zerubbabel. If I say that right, Zerubbabel, saith the Lord. And be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedek, the high priest. And be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work. Notice what he says, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. According to the word that I convey, covenant with you when ye came out of Egypt. So my spirit, notice the small s again. We mentioned the small s this morning. The small s, my spirit remaineth among you, fear ye not. Verse 6, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fit this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. Why? In this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. Now it's unique that the writer quotes verse 6, conjunction with temple, with the temple, concerning the shaking of the heavens, the earth, sea, and dry land, coincides with temple worship. Worship is a foundation, the worship of a true God is a foundation of stability of the human race. Amen? Amen. When that is shaken, unstableness. I'll come to that yet. Now, when Solomon built the temple, the Shekinah glory came into the temple. What's that? What's Shekinah glory? That the temple was filled with smoke, so much smoke, no one could enter. God was there. That was the Shekinah glory. But we don't read anything in the second temple that Shekinah glory came. Don't read it. But he did say, for I am with you, but I'm still with you. Even though I'm not with you in saying like in the Shekinah glory, the temple didn't experience the Shekinah glory. Was it because maybe they rebelled the first time around? They went into captivity and they came back again? I don't know. But God chose not to have the Shekinah glory. Also, when the offering, when Solomon had the offering at the temple, the fire came and consumed it. For our God is a consuming fire. Now, another illustration that of God is a consuming fire is when Moses was called in the burning bush. The bush was burning. The fire was there. That was God's presence. The fire was God's presence. verse 9. The glory of this latter house. Okay, the second temple. The second temple, the way I understand, if I'm not wrong, I think that second temple withstood 500 years before Christ, and then when Christ came, that was the second temple. If I'm not wrong, I think I'm right. Okay? That withstood all them years, and it says here, and in this place, I will give peace. What did that mean, I will give peace? I think it is when Jesus entered that temple. That was the peace. Because Jesus came and gave us peace because he gave that sin sacrifice. That was the peace that was expressed here concerning the temple. Thinking of the writers of Haggai and Hebrews, that God's kingdom cannot be shaken. But earthly kingdoms and created things can be shaken or brought to naught. Everything God made or invented is bound to break, bound to deteriorate, bound to rot. Everything, even God, can shake his creation. But I see that God did not shake the heavens yet that I know of. The sea, dry land. Now let's go to Exodus 19. Let's see the shaking that was described here. Exodus 19. Verses 16 through 20. Here we have Moses as God's people's leader. And God told Moses to tell the children they're supposed to sanctify themselves. He's coming down to the mountain. He wants to talk to them, and he wants to talk to Moses. Sanctify yourself. Get prepared to meet me. Get prepared to meet me. 16. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning, and there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mountain, and a voice of a trumpet. The trumpet shall sound, the time shall be no more. The trumpet voice, who is it? Right? Exceedingly loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the neither part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by voice. I would have trembled too. I'm sure we all would have trembled at an experience like this. The mountain shook. God was there. The mountain shook at his presence. We know, understand that on the mountaintop, God gave Moses all the instructions between chapters 20 and 31. But in chapter 20, verse 18, this was the response of the people. And all the people saw the thunders and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. They trembled at the presence of God. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God is come to prove you, that this his fear may be before your eyes, that you sin not. There's a whole thrust. God's interest in the people, that they sin not. And then in chapter 31, verse 18, and he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end to communing with him upon Mount Sinai, two tablets of testimony, tablets of stone, written with the finger of God. So Moses came down, and he had a message from God. Now, God wanted to instill in his people that he was a mighty God, well capable of meeting the needs of the people. Creation even responded to his presence. So much more should we obediently obey the truth of God's word. You know, the mountain quaked. God spoke. And you know, judgment fell after Moses came down off the mountain and seen them in idolatry, and God said judgment must fall on man. When Jesus was on earth, he also expressed the powers to calm the rough sea. Being the Son of God, having the same power as God, controlling the things that were shaking. The waters were shaking, and Jesus could calm also the waters. Well, we said that they sanctified themselves, they purified themselves in reverence and holiness to meet a holy and a righteous God. They did this out of respect for a just and holy God. You know, we must also, that is something for us to consideration also, we must be sanctified, because after our last breath, we will meet this same God. Going to Hebrews now. Hebrews 12. I just wanted to bring out that thought in Haggai, because we see worship, when man loses worship from God, those settled and those stable things that God, moral stability of man, if that is lost, God will shake other things, creation and things. And we want to see this in also in Hebrews. We notice, going back even to the temple worship, you know, God's presence left the temple as well, because man decided that idol worship was ideal versus God worship, and God left. That was a sad day. All right, going to our text verses again. We see in verse 25 of Hebrews 12, the Hebrew writer here was giving a warning. The danger of refusing to hear Jesus Christ. You know, on the mountain shook, and they feared and they believed, and they respected and they reverenced a God. And know so much more, we should reverence, respect God's presence on earth when Jesus Christ was here. You know, in giving the law, the Old Testament God came down on the mountain, showing his mighty power, thunder, lightning, smoke, fire, quaking of the mountain. God revealed to Moses his will to man to live and follow him. The law brought death. Okay? When you disobedience, it brought death. That started when God was giving the law to Moses on Mount Sinai. Anyone who even touched the mountain was killed. The covenant was given to Israel in order to reveal sin and death. The law contained three elements. First, commandments revealing the righteousness of God. Second, the judgments expressing social requirements. And third, the ordinances directing the religious life of Israel. We don't know anybody that was saved by the law. The keeping of the law, man's sins were covered until Christ died for the sins of men. You know, humanity could only escape the effects and consequences of the law because they were given by God. Humanity cannot escape the consequences of the law because it was given by God, the highest of all authority. The warning for us is not that we refuse him that speaketh from heaven. The picture is Christ speaking and proclaiming the new covenant of mercy and grace upon man. God's representative on earth was Jesus Christ proclaiming salvation to man. Jesus came to earth as equal with God, put on human flesh, humbled himself to the death of the cruel cross. You know, why would we reject such a great plan of salvation? If we reject, close our eyes and ears to this great plan, there is no escape. Hebrews 27 says, removing of these things that are shaken. When something is shaken, nothing is steadfast and nothing is grounded. You know, earthly things can shake. The kingdom of God is unshakable. The kingdom of God. Now, Jesus gave that illustration in Matthew 7. I'm going to read them verses. Matthew 7, 24. He gave an illustration of two men. Matthew 7, 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which buildeth his house upon a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which buildeth his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of that. You know, here Jesus gives an illustration of one's life that's built upon a rock, the solid foundation of God's moral law. Both experience the storms of life. Okay? They both experience the storms of life. The man whose house collapsed was at fault, not because he failed to labor, but because he did not lay a proper foundation. He had built his house on the shifting sand. What does that mean? What would we class as shifting sand today? I think we could say it's maybe people that put stock or put their trust in human reasoning, human opinions, rather than biblical principles and ideas. We have people like that, they believe in human reasoning, but they have set their heart on doctrines of men versus the gospel truth. You know, there's some other things that can shake our foundations. Sicknesses, depressions, marriage difficulties, financial setbacks. Some of them are unsettling. These experiences can unsettle us if we are not daily grounded on the truth and trust in the Lord's healing. Now I want to give a little rundown of what I've seen in my short lifetime as a breakdown in America. But I do see a breakdown in morals worldwide. It happened in Africa many years ago. It's happening in Canada today. It's happening in Mexico today. It's happening in the U.S. today. First of all, they took God and prayer out of school. That's when the Mennonites and Amish said, "Whoa, stop right there. I'm not going to school with you." Good idea. Grand idea. The best idea we could have done. I remember when when I was a little boy, I didn't know of anybody that was divorced. Maybe if you heard about it, it was secretly over here somewhere. Today, it's rampant. I know, two men at work, divorced and remarried. That's just common. Didn't work. It just didn't work first time around. Second one was better. Well, if you would have tried as first hard with the second as you did with the first, harder as hard with the first as you did with the second, it probably would have worked. Now, we got God out of church, out of school. We got prayer out of school. We got unsettled family life. Now we got the morals of family life shaken, unsettling. The next generation of children have no God in the picture. They don't understand right and wrong. They don't understand the headship order. Mom's in charge. Dad's in charge. Mom's in charge. Don't know who's in charge. Because, hey, well, Dad don't live at home, or whatever. Whatever situation. Equal rights with women. Then we have abortion becoming a women decision, not a decision based on what God says. I'm my own boss. Plain words, that's about what it is. I'm my own boss. Okay? Now, Satan then really throws in the towel by saying humans decide which gender they are. What confusion, brethren and sisters. Do you understand? The morals are totally gone. God will shake the rest of the things when man takes away all the moral stabilities of human existence. I can't imagine living in a family where, well, I don't know Dad, or I don't know Mom, or, yeah, I was Jane, but now I'm Sam. You know, the thing goes, I just can't hardly believe we're there. We're there. That's where we're at. Then I had to think of Genesis 4:10. When Cain slew his brother Abel, God said, "What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. I believe the ground is really crying today. Really crying. Innocent and guilty, born or unborn. Imagine the cry of the blood. You know, God, before the flood, God sent a sacrificial worship, and through Cain and Abel incident, the consequences of death was understood. God did not give the law to live by, to govern man's actions. Therefore, man became violent and God chose to bring judgment upon man. The scriptures tell us, man left to himself will destroy himself. I'm glad tonight that Jesus' sacrifice for sin was done once and for all through Jesus Christ. Today, man must choose who he serves. Man today has the same enemy as Adam and Eve had in the garden. You know, the breaking up of the family unit affects home, school, jobs, and government. Think about that. As I pondered that thought this afternoon concerning government, you know, we talked a little bit about that at Sunday school. Is it any wonder where our government is today? I mean, no God. A lot of these things that I just mentioned, they're promoting. Do you wonder why the government is where it is? Where it is? It's an ungodly. We live in an ungodly society. That's why. God is gonna shake the things that we think are stable. Because God comes to a point, judgment must fall on man. When the foundation is in place, society functions with stability. When that is gone, God allows the increase in natural disasters. Like I said this morning, I feel natural disasters are more on the increase. Not unless we just find out more about it because we have better information. But I think it's to get man's attention. Well, we said that verses 25 to 27 contains a warning. The danger lies in refusing to hear the warning of him that speaks from heaven. For if those on Mount Sinai did not escape God's wrath, much more shall we not escape. You know, thousands died when Moses came off the mount. Thousands died because of what happened when Moses was at the top of the mount. Therefore, can we expect judgment as much more as when Jesus talks and conveys messages of us from when he was on earth. I'm going to give a few things that I fear, that I know, not fear, I know are on the horizon because of what God said. God's going to shake the heavens. What was it saying, Haggai? He's going to shake the heavens. He's going to shake the earth. He's going to shake the sea. He's going to shake the dry land. Now, I'll just give you a little thing what I've learned a little bit just lately. The world has enough of nuclear power to destroy the earth. Okay. Do you know what Putin said to Britain lately? You know what he said? I'm going to annihilate you. He hates them. I'll tell you what the weapon that Russia has They have a nuclear missile hooked to a submarine. They can go to the bottom of the ocean. They can drop this nuclear missile and move along. And they can move that electronically, signals, to wherever they want to and blow it up. That nuclear missile has enough energy to create a tidal wave tall enough, the three-quarter size, you remember the Trade World Center, the two towers in New York City? High enough, three-quarter of the way at the top of that tower. Now, if you look at Britain, it's a narrow strip of land. That could easily happen. It could wipe out the whole country. Someone mailing it a graph. I seen a graph of a bomb that was only 1/4 the size of that biggest bomb that Russia has. And they made a graph. If they would drop it at the Atlantic Ocean and the tidal wave would come in, it would wipe out Long Island, whole New York City, just 1/4 of this one that I was talking about. Will man do that? I don't know. But that's where we're living at. I don't want to drive fear in your heart. I don't want to do that. Because we do have a good God, loving God. God loves him. But man is... I'm going to give some illustrations of God's wrath, not man's wrath. That's man's wrath, okay? That's man's wrath. I don't know if man's going to ever have a chance to use it or not. But we do know it did happen already in Japan. Man's wrath. Okay, let's go to Matthew 24. I want to read a few verses. I'm going to read a few verses here at the end of the message. God's going to shake. Matthew 24. It's not going to be pretty. All right. 24. 21, 22. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Doesn't say what it's going to be. Then it says, and except those days shall be shortened, there shall be no flesh be saved. Wow. No flesh saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. I think in the history of the world, past and future, there's going to be much suffering, universal destruction during those 7 years of great tribulation. Now, I want to give some more verses here concerning what I believe depict some of those 7 years. I'm not sure if it's all the 7 years, but it may be some of them. Let's go to Amos chapter 5. Hosea. I have a little trouble finding some of these small. Hosea, Joel, Amos. Amos 5, verse 18, says this: Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord! To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. Now listen to what he says in 19. As if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him. You're running from a lion and a bear meets you. Or went into a house and leaned his hand on the wall and a serpent bit him. Sounds like trouble. Can't get away from it, right? That's what it sounds like. Can't get away from trouble. Verse 20. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even every dark and not brightness in it? Now, I should have kept my, I kept my finger here at Matthew 24. Then I want to read verse 29. This was a continuation of what Jesus was saying in Matthew 24. Then in 29 he says, immediately after the tribulation in those days shall the sun be darkened. What did Amos say? Shall be darkness, right? That's what he said. Shall be darkness. Shall the sun be darkened and the moon shall not give her light? Well, if the sun don't shine, you don't have no moonlight either. And the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. I can imagine God up there. He's shaking the earth, shaking the whole universe, the whole heavens. And the stars are falling. God's shaking. He's making things unstable because man unstable things of the moral law. God says, I will shake things as well. You shook things, you unsettled things that were settled by what I said. Now I'm going to shake things that I'm going to give you an unsettled feeling. Luke 21. Luke 21:25. Says some of the same things. Jesus says some of the same thing. Luke records it like this. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth. Distresses of nations. What did we say in Haggai? The nation shall be shaken. With perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Notice what happens to man now. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Then it says, Jesus, the Son of Man will be coming with a cloud with great power and great glory. Some more. Revelation 6. By now you think I'm a doomsday preacher. Well, it's doomsday coming. But I hope you and I aren't here. That's what I say. Revelation 6, verse 12. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. I imagine if there was an earthquake, there was probably a volcano because of what happens next. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. Seemingly, it might have been not sure. Could be a volcano as well. And the stars of heaven fell onto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of the mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it was rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bound man and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said unto the mountains and rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Isaiah 24. Isaiah 24, 18. And it shall come to pass that he who fleeth from the noise of the fear shall fall into the pit, and he that cometh up out of the midst of the pit shall be taken in the snare. For the windows from on high are open, and the foundation of the earth do shake. The earth is utterly broken down, the earth is clean dissolved, and the earth is moved exceedingly. Now listen what verse 20 says. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall be removed like a cottage, and the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again. I don't know how that's going to be when the earth is going to shake like a drunkard. What's going to happen? Is the axis going to be turned? And then it's not going to be wobbly? Well, if God turned it one time, he can turn it again. Can he not? He can. Well, we know that God's judgment will rock the very stability of the planet, reminding the people of Earth that they have rebelled against him. Man tries to believe that when Earth has a few abnormalities, it's because man's pollution of the Earth and atmosphere. Isn't that what man believes? Sure. He believes that, well, it's getting hot. So, well, ozone layer, you know, that idea. Climate change, only to find out that a few extremes is normal. Just didn't take records long enough. That's what's wrong. Just didn't take records long. But on the other hand, I think we will experience more abnormalities because of sin, and God will shake the stability of the foundations, because the moral foundations of life are shaken by man. God will shake, bring on stability. Now, right? I'm going to go back to, I should have kept my hand in Isaiah 24. I want to continue reading there. Isaiah 24, 21. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall punish the host of the high ones. Okay? The host, one, plural, I mean singular, of the high ones that are on high, and the kings of the earth upon the earth. In other words, the host that controls the kings and controls those on high. Okay? It's going to punish. Now, in verse 22, and they shall be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit, and shall be shut up in the prison, and after many days shall they be visited. Now, if you want to understand what that means, let's go to Revelation 20. I think there explains what Isaiah 24 was trying to say. Revelations 20. It says this, the first three verses. And I saw an angel came down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit. Talks about a pit again. And a great chain in his hand. And he lay hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him in the bottomless pit, shut him up, set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he shall be loosened a little season. It coincides with Isaiah 24, verses 21 and 22. That's future. That didn't happen. Zechariah 14. 1 to 5. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee, for I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. Oh, wait a minute. Who? Who's going to do that? Sounds like God orchestrates this idea. He puts it in the kings of the earth. He says, I will gather all nations against Israel to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. Now notice what's going to happen. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove towards the north. I see an east and west mountain. Half of it shall be moved towards the north, and the other half towards the south. And there's going to be a valley in between. Who's going to be there? Well, I have my idea. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azel. Yea, and ye shall flee. Yea, like as they fled from the before the earthquake in the days of Uzzah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. That's future. Upheaving. God's going to preserve someone in that valley. God's going to preserve. He's going to make a way to escape. I have my idea. 1 Thessalonians 4. First Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God. Trump of God. Okay, it's a trumpet sound. God's trumpet sound, like on the Mount of Sinai. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him, with them in the clouds, and meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, I don't know. I guess I can't say for sure all the steps in which these things happen, okay? I can't give you chronological order as to when these things are, but I do know what's going to happen last. 2 Peter 3. That's going to happen last. Second Peter 3:10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to his promise, this is what we're looking for, brother and sister, regardless what all's going to transpire, the shakings, whatever transpires, this is what we're looking for. Look for new heaven and new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Are you going to be there? That's the question for us tonight. Are you going to be there? I hope I meet you all. That would be great. Pray for me that I get there as well. That we all get that new heaven and new earth. And the holy city coming out of heaven to this new heaven and new earth. The holy city of Jerusalem. The shakings of God all rest on the moral stability of mankind. I don't believe God would shake anything if man would live morally upright. If man today would be living morally upright throughout the world. But it's not so. God worship brings stability. The kingdom of Jesus Christ will withstand all the shakings that man does and that God allows. Remember that. The kingdom of Jesus Christ will stand. Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against, I'm putting it on my words, but prevail against God's kingdom. God's word stands regardless. Let's keep grounded.